Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Looking for a new high-end mascara without breaking the bank? The new L'Oreal Paris Panorama Mascara gives you a high-end lash look in a premium gold luxe packaging. It's all about panoramic volume and fully fanned out lashes. With its tapered brush, the new Panorama Mascara catches every single lash, giving you the false lash look without any of the hassle. Say goodbye to clumps and flakes, because this mascara is specially formulated to resist them all day with up to 24-hour wear. And the best part? It performs better than luxe mascaras at only a fraction of the cost. You can buy Panorama Mascara on Amazon today.
Doug hates candy wrappers, screaming baby sticky seeds with 50 ads and popcorn kernels in his teeth. There's still not one that he won't see, 'cause Doug loves movies.
Hey everybody, my name is Doug and I love movies. Welcome to Doug Loves Movies. It's September 2nd, 2010, but we got kicked out of the UCB theater on the date that we normally tape the ep that plops on September 10th, so we're doing it at Earwolf Studios, and I'll be talking to the gentleman behind the podcast known as Comedy Death Ray Radio and Sklarbro Country, Scott Aukerman and Jason and Randy Sklar. Hello, guys.
Hello.
Hi.
How are
you?
Welcome.
It took me off guard. You said you were going to wait a while before you...
Well, it was the first announcements ended up being quicker than they normally are. But
very quick.
But I just wanted the listeners to know...
They were lightning fast.
...that they're hearing this about 8 days after we record it. So if any major things happen in pop culture that we...
Who's the president now?
Accidentally step in. Yeah, there's like a presidential change over the next 8 days.
Yes.
We'll look so stupid if we're like, just sitting around talking about Obama the whole time without mentioning that he's been...
The Venezuelan missile crisis. Remember iPhones, you guys?
God, these guys, they love movies so much they miss the presidential coup. They have no idea what's going on in the world. So we're in the Earwolf Studios, so tell me... Let's have Scott Aukerman answer the question, because he's... at the top of the food chain at Earwolf.
Yeah, that's right.
He's the ear.
I'm the piranha.
You're the ear. You're the actual ear. No, he's the wolf.
It's your brainchild.
Well, me and this other guy, I don't want to mention him, though. But
isn't it his birthday today?
It is.
Well, it's his birthday on September 10th.
No.
Well, this is September 10th.
We don't need to mention his birthday.
With any luck at all.
No, it's Jeff Ulrich and me started this podcasting network, so yay, and the Sklar Bros came on as our first show.
Yay. And we really actually were very excited.
Yeah, so earwolf.com. Earwolf.com is where you can get Comedy Death Ray Radio, Sklarbro Country.
Yes,
fun.
One stop shopping for two great podcasts.
Thank you. And two very different podcasts.
Yeah, very different podcasts. And more coming up in September, I believe.
Nice.
Can you give us any hints?
No.
All right.
Are they going to be coming up between September 3rd and September 10th?
Yeah, they'll all be up there.
Oh, God.
We have President Obama doing a podcast.
No! An alternative comedy podcast.
Former President Obama.
Former President Obama. And he'll be doing it. His co-host will be Lynn Cheney. I think that's really nice.
And Kate Gosselin.
I have to say, though, like, we were looking to do a podcast, but we were going to do it on our own. But then these guys approached us, and we were like, this is a good place to connect up with, and we felt like our thing would fit well with what they were doing, even though it was very different. It's sports and comedy, but it's sports but with the same comedic point of view as the comedy you would find on Comedy Death Ray or on, you know, yeah. Doug Loves Movies.
Scott mentioned to me, he's like, for our first show, we'd really like to snag something about sports that is delivered by two guys with the same voice.
That's right. That's right. It's always good to do a podcast.
I was scratching my head and couldn't come up with anybody, and then he thought of you guys.
It was us or the Polish brothers. I don't know. Twin Falls, Idaho, anyone?
Yeah. It's a movie reference. I'm glad you brought it back to movies.
Right. That's right. I feel like I'm, to answer that question, I feel like I'm way more nasally. So
you are so much more nasally than me, Randy.
I'm sick.
I don't think I could do a sound. I couldn't tell the difference, though, if you played both and then I had to say which was which.
We constantly are saying, like, anyway, Jay.
Yeah, we try to address each other a lot in our podcast to make it easy for people.
Good call, Randy.
Yeah.
Thanks, Doug. Oh, wait. I don't think we need to do that.
We don't need to do that. People aren't saying, like, God, I really can't tell Jay and Doug.
Brothers.
Jay and Doug are really starting to sound alike.
All right. So we did that. Oh, I wanted to ask you, why did you call it Sklarbro country? Why not Sklarterial Artery?
Ooh, I like that.
I like Sklarterial Artery.
Could have been Sklarbro Fair.
You could just talk about medicine.
Sklarterial Artery. People want to
Sklarbro Fair was one where we just talked about, like, county fairs.
Are you going to Sklarbro Fair?
Great. That's going to cost me a lot of money.
Randy J.
That's the great thing about podcasting is you don't have to pay for
Sklar Tissue. Sklar Tissue. We only talk about the Red Hot Chili Peppers slow songs,
yeah,
which all
what
sound the same.
What about Sklarts and Entertainment? No, that's weird.
It's a Sklarty.
I don't know. We were, you know, we love a good pun, but it was like, what could we do that would somehow not like be sports in your face, balls in your nose, something not that, something that kind of represented us and the nation because we care about America as opposed to Scott who hates America. Yeah, it's just something where we just sort of learn, like, is it kind of funny? Yes. Does it make fun of Scarborough country? Yes. Can it be a reference to Marlborough country? Yes.
So you guys talk a lot about smoking
and riding
horses.
And the political right.
And riding horses, yes.
That sounds great. I listened to the Glenn Howerton episode.
He was great.
Did I pronounce his name right?
Yes, from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. He was great.
Yeah, that was a fun episode to listen to, and I'll listen to more maybe someday.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
It's not, you know how it is. We only have time to make podcasts.
When you're making art,
when you're making it, you can't consume it.
Yeah, when you're making sklart.
Yeah. Making sklart. we take our sklart very seriously.
Yeah, we're sklartists.
So, have you guys had time to go to the movies lately? Is that... been an option in your life?
A little bit. I mean, I saw...
You've got kids, not with each other, separately, right?
Separately. Thankfully, the ones that we had with each other didn't take. I mean, but that's another story. But I saw Inception recently, and I really am confused. I got it.
Sexually.
I'm confused, sexually.
Sure. It made you question your orientation.
Well, it puts you on a continuum. No, I loved it. I actually thought it was great. And I feel like I see, this is the problem. When you have kids and then you don't see movies a lot, you want to like movies. I think my critical eye is kind of going away because it's like our night out to go see a movie.
Yeah, you have to enjoy it.
You have to enjoy it. So
even if it sucks, you're like, oh, wasn't that great?
Well, the first movie we saw out of, you know, the prison of parenthood was Precious. And that was not...
Yeah, that's
that
not a funny,
yeah.
fun night out.
It wasn't that funny,
like,
yeah.
You worry about how you were going to raise your own black daughter.
Yeah, exactly.
Really,
I mean,
really difficult.
The fact that I was raped and that's how we got the baby, it was really weird. I mean, that's it hit too close to home.
Best moment in Precious or the hardest moment to watch was when the baby fell on the floor.
Oh.
That was just so...
As a new parent of a baby.
But I was thinking what would have made it worse is if... just like
they do the scene
and it's really emotional and then there's like a sound guy in the corner who's like, I need one more for me. Is that okay?
Really, Dave?
Thought I heard a siren outside.
They live in the ghetto.
I just want to get one more. Is that okay, guys? Get the baby. Can we reset the baby to one?
I think there might be more sirens. We should probably just be happy with
yeah,
the one we got.
Just let that one sit.
Guys, look, you brought me on here to do sound and it's like if I'm not happy, I don't want to move
Thank
on.
Thank God Monique won though.
There's
because she really
like,
needed the boost in her ego.
Yeah, if you thought she was difficult to work with before the Oscars.
Wait, what was your tweet on Monique during the Oscars?
Oh,
Doug,
it's terrible. Don't make me say it again.
Please say it.
Get more hate tweets.
You got hate tweets from that?
Yeah, people were upset.
Okay, then I won't.
I don't blame them. I'm fat, and I don't like being fat. It was something about that the rumors that she killed a trainer at SeaWorld aren't true.
But that has nothing to do with her being fat. It just has to do
no,
with
she
her.
Got angry at SeaWorld.
Angry at SeaWorld.
This is something else. It's it was a
don't you dare disrespect me.
It's about Monique's hostility in general.
I went out to old Sapphire.
I killed that trainer based on a novel by Push.
If you thought she was hard to work with before that
That's
movie.
That's what I said. Just wait.
Yeah,
now.
She was bad enough to work with on Soul Plane. But then once she made Precious.
Precious just took it to a whole new level. I mean, like, she won the Oscar for Precious, and she, like, still wouldn't fly to, like, Toronto unless they, like, put her up at a 5-star hotel to go to the festival where that played. Like, there was that whole thing that was going
on. Yeah, well,
that.
then when she won the award, she said, "Thank you for choosing me because of art instead of politics." Right. Implying that that she almost lost the award because she didn't go to those events.
Sure. Which she chose not to do.
But she's kind of that was what she said in the speech is like, but you got it right. You picked the best instead of the one that went to the most parties.
That's
humble.
And I'm sure the other nominees appreciated that.
That is like a nod to the other nominees. Yeah. That's a silent nod to them.
You do really want to thank the other people. Wait, you know what movie?
If Al Pacino can go to everything and then win the Oscar and the Golden Globe for Scent of a Woman,
then you can go. How about Al Pacino on the Emmys? And I tweeted this, but I really believe that I wish Jack Kevorkian would have gotten up and put his hair out of its misery. That thing was like... That really, but like, I said his hair was higher than Doug Benson at Burning Man.
Yeah, his hair was like wah.
Oh man! And he was talking so soft, and he just didn't remember anything. It's like,
don't cut him off because he's Al Pacino,
right? Al Pacino, like you have to think that there's probably a good chance you're gonna win. I mean, like you're there.
You're Pacino. Kevorkian's there too. You're gonna win.
Yeah, it's like you think Tom Hanks didn't think he was gonna win. Like get up there once. Like Tom Hanks at the Emmys. It's like to get him to the Emmys. It's like you know he's gonna win something. So Pacino just prepare a speech.
Yeah, he was really he got up there with such confidence that it felt like, oh, he's going to drop knowledge. Yeah,
here it comes, and then
he was like not afraid of being cut off by the orchestra. Because when you're really famous, they just say, please wrap up on the teleprompter instead of going, of Mad Men gets rushed off with the stupid music when he might have said something.
He had to win another award just to finish his speech.
Yeah, well, that's what they should have said when he walked off is, we know you're going
to
win again.
We know you're going to win again.
You'll have time to wrap it up at the end.
You're involved in a very popular show.
Do they really console people as they get off stage like that?
Yes.
Well, at least that, you know, that girl that hands him the award.
Drapes an arm around and maybe like a Mylar wrap.
Is that someone famous's daughter?
That's
still,
always or? At the Golden Globes.
Oh, do you think Larry Fishburne's daughter is going to do that?
Larry Fishburne's daughter.
I want to see her. She's going to get a burgeoning film career.
That's right.
I like to see her Golden
Golden Brown. Has anybody?
Which, by the way, is my favorite new restaurant next to Golden
Brown. That's my favorite breakfast, sir.
It is
Golden Brown.
Golden Brown.
Golden Brown is just really dark Golden Grahams. So
whenever I think of something to say when I'm talking to you guys, I lose it after two or three.
I'm sorry.
As you banter back and forth, I'm just like, I don't know. I have no idea what I was going to say.
We've gone off in so many different directions so quickly. Yeah, exactly.
Sorry. It's hard to keep up. When are you guys going to be on Entourage again?
God.
I don't know.
Who knows? That was... I actually liked doing it. I really did.
Oh, I'm sure it's super fun to be on. And you know, like when I'm watching it the whole time, I'm like, you know, this is... There's a lot of quality things about this, but it might have gone on for a couple more seasons than necessary.
Oh, yeah.
For them to finally think, hey, what if he has a drug problem? Why didn't that happen season one?
It takes so long for a drug problem to be an issue for a big star. They held it out.
I was just happy the Murphy Group got acquired.
That was keeping you up at night. That was keeping you up at night. Well, that Murphy Group acquisition was definitely it was big.
He's going to take over the whole company, though. Oh, I can't wait.
Just wait. Easy. They got to get that guy off the show so he can do Hawaii 5-0. So
I would love it if they just retitled that show "Failing Upwards."
It bugs me exactly, but it bugs
but that's
me
very
that,
true of Hollywood. Isn't that true? That couldn't be more true of Hollywood.
I'm going to forget.
Bugs you?
It bugs me that that Queen Latifah and Scott Kahn play characters. but the level of cameos that they get.
Her name is Dana.
To play themselves.
She's not playing a character. Her name is Dana.
Her name is Dana.
Oh, in real life?
Yeah, in real life.
But he's not going to call her Queen.
But he ran into her on the street.
And he said, hey, Dana.
Yeah,
hey, Dana.
And then they had to talk about business that didn't sound like he represents her?
Yeah, he was going to represent her.
Okay, because here's what I was really driving at.
Okay.
That Jessica Simpson and Mike Tyson were the two clients that Ari Gold was desperately worried that he was going to lose.
Right.
And Sorkin.
Yeah,
right.
Aaron Sorkin.
Yeah,
those were his three. He's the biggest talent agency
in the world.
Those are the three biggest names.
Yeah,
like he's as concerned to them as he is about Vince, who's been the star of $100 million movies. Sure.
Right. And Mike Tyson, who hasn't fought in 15 years and was just like did a small thing
had
in
a thing
Hangover.
In Hangover, like, but Brody that's Stevens not why Hangover was a success.
Right.
But yeah, it is a weird alternate universe where George Segal doesn't exist.
But he is as Murray. Yeah, no.
But yeah, I don't like the mix.
Hire
all unrecognizable actors to play the suits. Yeah. Or
because you're living in a world where Just Shoot Me did not exist.
But
I cannot imagine that world.
But
please.
But I mean,
just what it would do to Brian Posehn alone would be
a soulless husk of an earth. Yeah.
Exactly. I would be about $3,000 poorer.
You would.
My episode is still in syndication.
Hello.
Nice.
Oh, yeah.
See it on YouTube.
Those checks for $13 must really make your day.
I honestly got a 2-cent check the other day. A 2-cent check.
Yeah, well, they were just telling you what they thought about you. They're just putting it in.
I was almost there.
And you know what? I didn't like it.
It's anytime it's lower than like $3, I'm like, why? Can't you just throw this to some charity or something?
Yes.
Like, why are we going through all this? Like, because sometimes it'll be you'll get one tiny check like that from somewhere, and that's a whole other page on your tax return at the end of the year.
Exactly.
That's so interesting that you guys still take care of all your money. You don't have people to do it for you.
No, that
doesn't work out. Like, I was thinking about hiring Dane Cook's brother to do it.
Really?
But he ran off with all his money, so that was a warning sign.
Wait a second. You've gotten in touch.
I met with him a few more times.
Because he just had a really good
personality. Now you're with Billy Joel's people. And
it's going well.
Yeah, who else got ripped off by their people?
Billy Joel.
It seems like everybody
personal
does.
Assistant. It just seems like it happens. So that's why I don't have one. I should, though, because I can't keep track
Gump
of
happens.
Anything.
It does. Wait, have you seen the Expendables?
Movies.
Have you seen the Expendables?
Yes, let's talk about movies.
I have not seen the Expendables yet, but I keep seeing the ad for the machete, for machete. You see
machete?
Like
the machete. What did you call it? The Shetty?
The Shetty.
Oh, God. Guys, have you checked out the Shetty?
That's
like when Radio Shack is the Shack.
Seagal is in the Shetty. Is that correct?
Yes.
And Lindsay Lohan.
Surprisingly absent, though, from The Expendables.
Yes.
Well, you know, I saw Sylvester Stallone at Comic-Con, and he mentioned that he tried to get...
Van Damme
and Seagal, but he said that mental health problems stood in the way.
I thought Seagal would just...
Mental health problems stood in the way. What do you mean? What does that mean? He's just saying they're crazy?
They're crazy, and,
Well, I
crazier
like
than Dolph Lundgren. That's hard to believe.
I feel like Seagal. Well, Dolph.
No,
Lundgren,
Dolph is a genius.
He wants.
Do you know that about him?
Is he really?
He's literally
acting.
No, he's literally like a genius. He has PhDs.
Yeah,
and he's like a fascinating dude who
busy to learn how to act because they gave him like the most interesting part and he was still terrible.
No, he sucks. But he's like, if you read up on him, he's like got this crazy career where he has PhDs and he's a film director.
Oh my God.
And these guys were trying to rip him off recently. Like recently, these
who goes after
thieves?
Lundgren? You know you're going
to
get hit.
Yeah, these thieves went to his house.
What?
Thieves actually went to his house. Got a bunch of stuff. And then went through the hall and saw a huge picture of Dolph Lundgren, realized they were in his house, put all the stuff down, and got the fuck
out.
That's right.
Nice. Like, even his picture inspires fear in
people.
I feel like Seagal was probably too busy ironing, like, one of his 50 kimonos, because he'll, like, go, he'll iron that thing out, and he was like, I just can't be there for, like, rehearsals or any of the read-throughs or anything like that.
Lawman. I've watched Lawman. Have you watched Lawman?
His show on A&E or whatever.
Oh, Seagal's show.
Yeah,
Seagal's show. Back to Seagal. I was still thinking about Lundgren.
Think too long on Lundgren. What do you have on Lundgren?
I didn't have much.
Okay,
let's hear it. I was going to throw it out there anyway.
Did he date Brigitte Nielsen too or no?
I don't think that was just Stallone. I think.
Just Stallone.
But nobody here has seen Expendables except
for
me.
Yeah, I saw it.
Oh, you saw it.
No,
I love, like, without giving too much away, Lundgren is hilarious at the very end of the movie because there's no reason for him to be in the last scene of the movie.
No, it's just like they just wanted to do like a Cannonball Run style, like
everybody's.
Almost like just jam session at the end.
And also
with all the characters just like dropping by.
And like we'll all be back too. Like it's like this, if there's not a sequel, that would be the most amazing shocking thing that ever happened.
It did well. It did really well.
I want Rourke to get out there on the mission. They said that Stallone said Mickey Rourke wanted 6 hours of rehearsal or something like that.
Oh boy.
And they said, you have 5 minutes. And he went, okay.
All right.
So I guess
I'll have to do this scene.
It's like, remember when you were just doing movies with like little dogs and stuff in the late 80s, early 90s because you fucked it up so bad?
You get 5 minutes. He gives the most real performance out of that. I thought his monologue was actually really good.
It's good, but his shot's so weird.
Stallone is a terrible director.
Yeah. Well, Rambo's great, though. I don't know.
Rambo or First
Rambo.
Blood?
No, the most recent.
Because it's mostly action, and that seems Rambo. To be something he can handle.
No, but Expendables, the action is not as good as Rambo. I don't know.
He said that all the action, they did all of it. They did all of their stunts, all the stars in the movie, and they insisted on doing that stuff. So it's not going to be as crazy.
Mean the way he shoots the action.
The way he shot it.
He shoots it really great in Rambo, and it's super violent and clear and great. Right. And then in Expendables.
Like the car chase is kind of confusing to watch.
Yeah.
But, man, when Terry Crews pulls out that gun that makes people explode, that's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
How about when Todd Barry kicks everyone's ass?
That's the
wrestler. I'm sorry. I forgot.
Finger and a meat cutter. Wow.
Wow. Weird.
Meat cutter.
Finger and a meat cutter.
Can we talk about Lawman just for 1 second, though?
Is that a movie?
No, it's Seagal's TV show Machete.
Machete. Is Machete a movie?
Not before or
Machete
after.
Is between doing Machete and the Machete. So Lawman, I turned on to watch it. Basically, you know how at the end of Cops, when they make that one statement, like, over the word cops, when the cops kind of wraps up the whole situation, like, that's why the birds are in the bushes or whatever he says, and it makes a sense. I feel like Seagal watched that and then thought that that's how he has to speak throughout the entire show. So every time he talks, he delivers the line that should be ending the show. You have to watch it.
For instance,
I don't know. He's like, that's why, you know, when you run from a cop, you ain't going to be running too long. I'm like, we're in the middle of the chase. Like, you can't say that now. You have to say that once you catch the guy. You might not get him.
He's putting a button on the end of it in the middle.
It was just weird.
You can't button the middle.
Don't button it.
That's the way the cookie crumbles.
Don't tell my shirt that.
That's the way the cookie crumbles.
And he's eating a lot of cookies. He's fattened up some. Speaking of money.
Yeah, him fighting around in that other movie that's coming out that has lots of action.
I was always, amazed by him in whatever movie he was in, he would literally destroy someone with, the most nonchalant move ever. You know what I mean? Like, he would look like
he wasn't fighting hard.
I'm like, so what? You guys shot the rehearsal here? Like, literally, he's not fighting that hard, and people are
half
just going,
speed, Steven. Let's go half speed on this one.
People are, going down, literally, Terry Crews shot them with an explosive gun.
Do you think they could get Howie Long in the next Expendables?
Long and Terry Hatcher?
Yeah.
Because they're great together.
Yeah, they're such a good team.
So funny.
Those commercials for the Shaq, maybe they could be in the new Shetty.
The Shaq Shetty.
Jet Li's part was so dumb.
Ugh. Use these people wisely. That's what I say.
He talks more than he fights in the movie, and his acting is terrible.
Like, the reason we all went to see The Expendables is because we want to see him fucking kung fu some motherfuckers.
That's right.
Exactly.
That's right.
But maybe, you know, that's what's hard for Stallone to direct, maybe. It's like too much.
Well, also, Jet Li is probably too old to kung fu some motherfuckers.
Mm.
He can kung them, but he can't fool them.
He can Hong Kong.
Is that what Seagal said at the end of the first act of the show?
If you can only Kong and you can't Fu, you shouldn't be doing it.
Come on, we're in the middle of this.
He's fighting you right now.
He just karate chopped you in the head.
Just chopped you.
Wait until he's laying over the barrel.
Don't put a button on it.
What barrel?
The barrel of explosives that he just kicked him over.
I love the picture in your head.
They're in a warehouse. There's a barrel leaking fuel. He kicked him over it. Okay. Thank you.
I know that the Sklar brothers have been in some motion pictures on occasion. One called Wild Hogs, if I'm not mistaken. Right,
sure. Most of the people who watch or listen to your show definitely are fans of that. I understand.
Well, you know, it plays on basic cable or whatever. I happen to be flipping around when it was on what I believe was your first of maybe two scenes. You're around for a little bit, right?
You kind of
greet them and then show up a little later.
Yeah, we had three or four
scenes. You're there when the whole bull thing goes down.
Yeah, the bull fighting scene, which was a blast.
Is that bull from Night Court?
It was us, Richard Mall, tied to a stake in the center of a ring. You don't want to. It's like if he doesn't eat craft services, he gets very angry.
Did you get the call for Wild Hogs 2?
We did not
get the call for Wild Hogs 2.
It was going in Europe, I think.
Oh, okay. That'd be funny to run into you again. You know, that's the charm of sequels.
We were like,
see the same shit all over again.
Exactly. We were ready to go.
If you don't cast the Sklar Brothers in Wild Hogs 2, they're going to spoil that it's in Europe for you.
Yeah. I just did.
It's like those, wasn't there, there's a James Bond movie, Live and Let Die, where the sheriff is chasing him, and then, and it's in the swamp somewhere in the
south. And
he goes
over the alligators?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But the sheriff in that movie shows up in another, he gets moved to another place, and he shows up in another James Bond movie, and he's mad again because, you know, James Bond runs by and wrecks his car.
Because when you have that kind of chemistry, like the Howie Long, Terry Hatcher style chemistry.
Which is like our chemistry. Which is basically, honestly, working on Wild Hogs was pretty amazing. I mean, yes, it is what it is, but
those four guys are as famous as they are for a reason.
Four guys.
More than that.
It was more than that. So,
well,
like,
then there's other people like Ray Liotta,
Marissa Tomei. Oscar award-winning Marissa Tomei, who's adorable
and
could not be cool.
Yeah,
she was in one of the scenes.
She cannot be cool?
Did she ever like, hang out in your hotel room and smoke weed and stuff?
She did not smoke weed with us, but she was incredibly nice.
Who's the most famous person you guys have ever smoked weed with?
Ever smoked weed with?
Do you guys smoke weed, or do you not want your kids to hear this?
Yeah, maybe we shouldn't.
Kids love podcasts.
Okay.
Yeah.
Why don't you call your thing a podcast?
Because I think it's been done already. And also, because I think it's been done
already.
Like, it's just it's right there for the taking.
That's right. So, Ray Liotta was a... Who else is a...
And this isn't about pod. This is about movies.
This is about movies. But, I mean, to walk into a scene and it's Tim Allen
John Travolta.
And Martin Lawrence and William H. Macy. It's kind of crazy to see all that. And in
the moments that we had to carry the comedy of those scenes when they're there and 90 extras and 70 crew and is for
it's
us.
A lot of math.
We're like, it was a lot of math.
You lost me on the get-go. Numbers.
Do you know who has
could you tell the story again with letters?
Do you know who has great chemistry?
Who, Terry Hatcher and Howie Long?
The actors on Breaking Bad.
Just the two that work in the chemistry lab.
Right.
The rest of them don't go well together at all.
Yeah. He's a chemistry teacher gone. He's gone bad.
That's my favorite movie TV show, which is like my way of saying that it's a better movie than most movies. Right. And it's on TV.
And it's a TV show.
Yeah.
Is Breaking Bad?
Yeah, I love it.
Are you just such a Breaking Bad fan? You know what I became a fan of? I know this is Doug Love Movies, but I can't believe, because it's just not in my nature to love this, but now I'm like super, super obsessed, is True Blood. I'm like such a true, and I'm not a vampire person or a werewolf person.
You're a people fucking person.
Yeah, I'm a two dudes kissing person.
That show's too sexy for me. I don't like things that are crazy sexy and then constantly blood is being spurted everywhere.
It is like,
and yet you're going to see Machete.
Well, that could be Seagal's awesome. I'm just saying you have to spread out a little bit better. Like Piranha 3D, did you guys see that?
I have not seen that, but I want to.
It's so violent that there should be a little bit of nudity maybe at the beginning, but once it's gotten really violent, I don't need more nudity.
Okay.
Now I'm in violent mode. Stop, it's like I said on Twitter, I didn't know whether to masturbate watching that movie.
Well, if almost like if it's violence all the way. All right, I know you love roller coasters too, Doug.
I do.
Someone invited us for ESPN to when we were, they had like, or he worked for Six Flags. He used to work for ESPN, then he worked for Six Flags. There was a night at Six Flags for employees only.
Amusement park, and event dropper. Keep going.
Okay. So, and you go to the
Magic
park.
Mountain.
So zero lines. You just walked onto every single, zero lines. You walked onto every single road. It isn't as awesome as you would think because.
I would think. I love roller coasters.
I know you do, but.
I'll go on any one 10 times in a row and not
even the upside down one. What was it?
Smoke first.
Oh, okay. Well, okay, I get that, but
that
like.
That X thing where.
No, there was one the upside down started with a T.
Flip over?
No, you're upside down the whole time.
Tatsu is uncomfortable. It's uncomfortable.
Tatsu was.
It's uncomfortable. You're strapped in like you're on a gurney.
That's right.
You're
facing downward.
They flip you over the wrong way.
Right, but I loved it. But you go through those like nonstop one after the other, and you realize that the lines kind of help your head like. Recollect after it's been rattled around so much.
Yes, if your head is a pussy, that is correct.
Ah! Well, I do, but I think it's the same thing.
I do understand that syndrome of.
But with violence in movies, also, like a little goes a long way. If it's like violent, 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 it all starts to lose its like power.
I'm like always like when the violence is more real, like. Like when the guy gets curbed in American History X. Like,
oh, Jesus. Why'd you mention that?
Sorry.
I work so hard to forget that ever happened. That was one of my least favorite violent moments in a movie. When I see a curb, I can't not think about it.
I didn't even watch Larry David's show because I was afraid it was all about that. I'm a fan of wordplay.
That's our show.
Today.
No Leonard Maltin game. It's over. The show's over.
Yes.
No Leonard Maltin game.
Well, oh, no. Please.
Listeners are going, what are you fucking doing?
Why?
It's my decision whether there's no Leonard Maltin game, because I either listen to it or I turn it off.
That's right.
How do you think people like it without the audience?
I've only done one show without the audience, and I got a couple of complaints, you know, that we didn't like that, the sound of that. We prefer when there's an audience laughing, but
I can
most
just laugh
people,
at everything you guys say.
Most people appreciate
kind of
it. There was appreciation for the fact that I did an episode instead of taking the week off.
Right.
Yeah. That's what this is. So when they write to me and say, the Sklars and Scott Aukerman are the most unfunny people we've ever heard, which is, I could say, would you prefer we take a week off?
And they will
and we'll
say
see
yes.
what they say.
Yes.
We'll see what they say.
Yeah, please.
I'll conduct a poll.
Dear God.
I'll just ask that question out of the gate. Should I have taken a week off? No, but this is this has been super fun for me, so I can only imagine the listeners are enjoying it as well.
Thank you so much, Doc.
And it's also not that irritating radio thing of weird drops being thrown in everywhere,
yeah.
Which sometimes I'm amused by, but other times I'm like, I'd rather just hear the person talk.
Sure.
And then the music bed drives me crazy. Mm. Like when you're doing an interview and they like have underneath it, it's like, why is this happening?
It's like the honestly, it's like
a ticking time bomb.
It's like the violence thing. There's like too much stuff going on there. You're like,
drop
little goes a long way. Like play music in and out of stuff, but then actually that sounded great. That was great.
More house music
for my description of why I didn't like music underneath it. We put a bed underneath that.
Yeah. And then if I were in a studio, I'd hit a button and Will Ferrell would go, shut up, or something, you know, some sound bite that I can't think of any of the specific
just
ones.
It's like the Three Stooges. We're trying to broadcast in, numbskulls.
Stay classy, San Diego. They just dropped that in out of nowhere. No one's talking about being classy or San Diego.
or Philip Will Ferrell. Or Philip Rivers.
Yeah. They're talking Anchorman 2, maybe. But let's play the Leonard Maltin game.
Let's do it.
Let's play it.
Let's do it.
But who's they?
You know. Adam McKay, I think. Right. I don't know.
I'm sure they should.
Because it's certainly, I think it's their most popular one in terms of...
It's their cult. It's the biggest like cult following.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. It's a great character. Yeah. Hilarious.
They would have a big opening weekend for sure.
Ooh, yep.
They would do quite well. Okay, so let's start with Scott. Let's go around this way. So let's start with Scott.
Oh.
Okay, and then we'll go...
Randy,
then Jason.
Cool.
So earlier when I did the joke of getting the names wrong, you guys are so used to that, you didn't even indicate I felt like maybe I was trying to get it wrong on purpose and got it right on purpose, because you guys don't even care anymore.
I don't know.
I care. I mean, I do care, but I
know. We also know you know who we are. So, I mean, nodding is great.
Nodding.
On the podcast.
Silence. Silence from you.
More facial expressions.
Okay, so. Randy. It's going to go Scott, Randy, Jason.
Okay.
And
I am not good
at this
game.
Got some exciting categories.
Okay. Oh.
So, Scott, you'll pick the first category. Would you like Ice Cube's top five favorite movies of all time?
He has really ballooned.
According to Rotten Tomatoes.
He has really ballooned up, by the way.
Oh, is he big?
And our joke that again, I said on Twitter,
I haven't seen Lottery Ticket.
You know that Ice Cube has gotten fat is when he goes out and see the lights of the Goodyear blimp, and it says Ice Cube's a blimp.
I get it.
Who wrote that?
Ice Cube. I wrote that on Twitter.
Oh,
sorry. He's more of a Trey lately.
He's way funnier. Way
ice maker. Ice box.
It's like the Snoopy snow cone machine.
Okay, so the Ice Cube's top five, or I have Twitter people suggest categories now, and this was a good one from MCS212, suggested movies that take place in one day.
Within one day.
Yeah, it's a good, fun category. And then another...
Is that not to be confused with movies that take place in real time?
There are very few movies
that... Those are often within one day.
Of course. Otherwise, you're watching a two-day movie.
I had to, when this category came up with T.J. Miller, I had to say, I beg you not to guess 24. That's a TV show that takes place in one day. Okay, so then the other category. Somebody submitted this, but I lost their name, but I remembered it and liked it. So pat yourself on the back if you're listening. The IMDb Bottom 100. They list the bottom 100 movies, like the most hated 100 movies.
I gotta go out and pay my parking.
I didn't think about that.
I'm a Prius outside.
Yeah,
I bet I have a ticket.
I parked in a lot.
But I have a ticket. Green.
But let's just stop and then go right back into
That's
it.
That's fine.
Or can he do it for you? Or?
Yeah, you're gonna do it for me? All right, great. Okay.
Oh, here we go.
Here we go.
Wow, that was a close one. We almost had to have an edit. I try not to edit. In the Elizabeth Shue episode, we had to bleep something that she said.
I hope that you bleep everything I say, by the way.
That'd be awesome.
And just don't explain
it. Just bleep. Yeah. Just bleep
but
a whole.
People got so mad about the Elizabeth Shue bleeping because it's really, it's kind of a long statement that she makes that got, the whole thing got bleeped out.
Why?
Because she was very forthcoming about everything and loose and open, and then halfway through the show found out it's a podcast. Like, I don't know how she didn't know that, because Adam said, will you come do this podcast? He didn't come say, will you come do this, sit in a theater and talk into microphones?
I think she thought it was like, come do this thing at UCB. And she was like,
so it's
a theater. Okay.
So yeah, let's go. Yeah.
She didn't realize it was going out to the world.
So she was very open and said a lot of things that were awesome.
She's hot. She
looks great. She's 42 and she looks great.
She is gorgeous.
42, not old.
Yeah. My friend David Huntsberger was for days could not stop talking about how happy he was to get to hug her. He asked her for a hug.
He says, "Hi, Elizabeth, I'm David. Can I hug you?"
Oh God. Sure.
And then she said yes and gave him a good one, according to him.
Yeah.
He had a boner that lasted a month.
Jeez. It's like drinking a bottle of slow gin. Boner for a month. All right.
Yeah. So anyway, the point is, after the show was over, she was like, "Oh, I said so many things." And I was like, "I'll tell you what, pick one thing and I will bleep it out."
And so you bleeped it.
And she picked one thing, and I bleeped it. But through context, you can figure out essentially what she said.
Why didn't you just...
But still, people just, like, as soon as they hear the bleeps, they would write to me, "What's with the censorship on..." That was crazy.
Okay. A man coming down on you, Doug.
Yeah, seriously. Exactly. But basically, she just was, you know, she just said that she wouldn't do nudity for Paul Verhoeven because he's a creep.
All right.
That's essentially what she says, but some people couldn't figure that out.
But we can't say that on this.
But why would we?
No, there's going to be a big bleep over that.
Okay, okay. Yeah, okay. She basically said.
Oh, my God.
She
that'd basically be so irritating.
Said. She basically said.
Yeah, that's what's going to happen. Oh, my God. People will kill me.
People will kill you.
They'll gang up with torches and stuff. All right, so IMDb bottom 100 is the third category. Which one do you want to start?
I feel like I would be better at Ice Cube's.
Good.
All right. Yeah, these are his five favorite movies of all time.
His favorite or our favorite of his?
No, his favorites.
His favorites.
Is he one of those guys according who picks his own movies because he's so self-centered?
I'll give you that clue. No.
Okay, thank you.
He didn't pick any of his own movies.
Great. Right.
Good.
And he picked movies from, you get to pick from these 3 years, Scott.
All right, here we go.
1941.
Really?
1972.
Is it the movie 1941?
1972.
I hate pre-guessing. 1972
Come on,
or
you know 19... I know that it's not 1941.
All right, you're out.
Okay. Go.
41, 72.
We moved to Randy.
Thank you.
No, 41, 72, or 75.
Huh.
Favorite movies of Ice Cube.
I'll go with 72.
Okay. Leonard Maltin gives us 4 stars. So Len and Ice are on the same tray.
Out of... Wait, is it out of... How many stars?
4 out of... I think it's out of 4.
Is it 4?
Okay. Yeah, I think Len's 1 to 4 with bomb for the really bad ones.
Okay.
1972.
So it's pretty much a 5-star system. He just disguises star as bomb.
I know
exactly.
It.
That's exactly what he does.
Okay.
It's like when a building doesn't have a 13th floor, but it has a 13th floor.
I know it. 72.
1972. We start. The bidding's going to start with Scott, but let me give you a couple of clues.
Okay.
He calls it Pulp Fiction, and he also calls it Absolutely Irresistible. And it's from 72, 4 stars, and there are 15 names. Scott Aukerman, how many names?
-1.
It says -1 names. Now, if you guys, are you familiar with the negative concept?
No, give me the negative.
What he has to do is if Randy says name that movie, then Scott has to name that movie, and he also has to name the top billed actor, one person. He has to name. Wait a second.
No.
He has to name the top billed actor. But you could go -2 names if you think you can name
the top
number
two,
one and number two. Do you have a feel for what the movie might be?
I do have a feel for what it might be. I know what the movie is. I think
I do. Yeah, see, so if you could go -2, and then do you think you can get -3? You think you can name the 3 top cast members in order?
I mean,
the top billed person, second billed person, third billed
person.
You
have to do it in the right order.
Yeah.
That's what they may not.
So that's what he's attempting to do, is he'll name the person who got top billing and the name of the movie.
I'll do -2.
Bam! What do you think? Jason, want
to
go?
I'll try -3. Why not? I mean, what do we have to lose? I feel like I'm in Cash Cab.
There are no stakes here.
No, you see, they win money when they win.
Oh, I know, but here
but
it's
you
less.
Don't.
Yeah,
you
here don't. It's less.
But they get a free even, cab ride regardless.
Even less stakes. We're not going anywhere.
I'll drop them off wherever I am. They never drop them off somewhere no. shitty.
It's a great show.
Exactly.
It's a great show.
Exactly.
Gosh, can I go four?
It'll be really hard if you go four. I'll
yeah,
tell you. I'll give you that clue.
I know.
I would not be able to do
it. I'd be
it.
Able to do two. It. I don't think I would be able to do three.
I don't think
so
I can
I'll,
do three.
I'll say
so
name
Scott
that movie.
Scott says name that movie and the three top billed people.
Okay.
What's the movie, first of all?
Godfather.
I'll save us a lot of time.
It's a Godfather.
Correct. It is the Godfather.
Okay. So Marlon Brando, top?
You can't do it that way. You've got to just name them.
Okay. Marlon. So Marlon Brando, James Caan, Robert Duvall.
So close.
Ah,
Marlon Brando, Al Pacino.
Oh,
the aforementioned Al Pacino, James Caan.
Ah,
father of the aforementioned That's Scott Caan.
That actually was the three I was going to guess.
Really, in that order?
Yeah, in that order.
Because I mean, Brando's smart money because he's top billed in movies. So he's only in for 10 minutes.
The reason I was saying one, the reason I didn't come out with three though, is because I started psyching myself out about do they do an introducing Al Pacino at the very end?
Right, which would give him a much lower credit.
Sure I thought that he would be lower because I thought the other guys had done. All right,
I was going to say Taxi Driver, and I would have said.
I mean, he is the main Robert character.
I know Robert De Niro. I know, but I don't know why.
Jodie Foster
is similar to.
And a taxi.
It was similar to Marlon Brando.
And a gun
Christopher
that
Reeve.
Slides on your arm.
Okay.
Who wins that point then?
You do. Because
you do.
Because
I said name the movie?
Yeah, you said you made him make name it.
Well played.
And he failed, so we're going to start on this next one with
me.
Randy. Would you like...
I love how many things you have to deal with here, Doug. It's a lot of logistical paperwork things.
Would you like the category in theaters now?
No.
Or takes place in one day, or let's throw this one in the mix: movies with colors in the title. That was submitted by
at
Supadoo
at on Super, Twitter. At Supadoo, I'm
let's
going
super
with
do it.
It. Let's super do it.
All right, cool.
Excuse me, Supadoo it.
Supadoo it. Would you like a movie from that has a color in the title from 81, 2002, or 2007?
81.
Okay, nice.
Oh, I bet I know this.
You guys are going deep.
Uh huh.
Three stars from Len. Kind of strange. I'd imagine it's more. I haven't seen it in a long time, though. It's from 1981.
Uh-huh.
And Leonard Maltin calls it ambitious.
I no longer know what it is.
He also says... he also says often sappy. Ambitious and often sappy. So those clues are going to really confuse you.
Yeah, that's very...
Three stars, and there are... 17 names.
Wow.
We'll start the bidding with Randy Sklar.
I could do it in
Sklarbro Country.
If I had two names.
What?
Two. I can do it in two.
Two names from the bottom of
two.
The cast list?
The bottom of the cast
See,
list?
We're back to the
no,
bottom.
No, you're back to the bottom.
You're back to the hard names.
Oh, back to the hard names. I can do it in 10 names.
Yeah, that's better.
I don't even know it. So
well, you don't have to know it ahead of time. Yeah. Sometimes the names
are... All right, I'll do it
You can say name that movie and make him do it.
Yeah, but he said 10 names. That's a lot of names.
You think he'd get it if he had 10 names?
I think he'd have a pretty reasonable shot at it.
All right. I'll say 9 names.
I can name that movie.
It'd be funny if you said name that movie to him right then without hesitating.
Right, right.
Like you tricked him into doing that.
Yeah.
All right, let's edit this. Name that movie.
Nice.
All right, ready?
Yeah.
Shit, all right.
Okay, so you get, what do you get, 9 names?
9 mm-hmm. names.
All right. Joseph Sommer. Somner?
There you go.
Got
Sommer?
It.
Sommer?
I got the movie. I'm just kidding.
Dolph Sweet, who
the
we all remember from
the Dolph Lundgren
Facts of Life.
Yeah, right.
He was the dad on Facts of Life.
Was he really?
Uh-huh. George Plimpton, Bessie Love, Ian Wolfe, M. Emmett Walsh, classic character
sure,
actor.
Sure. Killed himself.
Max Wright, who I believe was the father on Alf. William Daniels, voice of Kit.
There you go. Oh, yeah, that guy. He was also on Magnum P.I.
And you get one more name.
And
one more name. Gene Hackman.
Gene Hackman.
Yes. It's from 1981, and it's ambitious and often sappy.
And it's got a color in it.
And the title has a color in it.
Okay, wow. First, think about all the colors in the
think
world.
Of colors.
I know.
Let's get the Roy G. Bib
I mean,
in
it's
here.
Not going to be any crazy colors like chartreuse or anything.
No.
So think of some colors and then a title... But we're gonna need an answer soon.
I don't even know. Red Dawn? I don't know.
That's what I was thinking originally.
That's the closest wrong guess in the history of this show.
Are you serious?
Because the title is Reds.
Red Dong?
Reds.
Oh.
The title's Reds.
Oh,
but Red Dong is funny.
Wasn't that...
Red Dong.
Gene Hackman was in a movie called Red Dong.
It's all about the plight of the Native American.
Yeah, but you know, at the top of the list are Warren Beatty, Diane Keaton, Edward Norton,
Reds. Okay.
Reds. Maureen Stapleton won an Oscar. Jack
That's
Nicholson
a great category. I enjoy that.
That is a good one.
That's fun, right?
Wow. So I have 2 points.
He got so close with Red Dawn.
Just keep pushing Jay.
Yeah, push me to get close and lose.
All right, so is that the second time you won?
Yes.
So yeah. Scott's the winner.
There
you go. You want to do one more just for fun?
We could do one more round for fun.
Funsies.
The listeners are all saying, yes, more, or they've turned it off.
For funsies. Let's do funsies.
Okay, so this one's for funsies. Nothing serious, you guys.
Jay, you can
But anybody that does a negative zero or negative name answer does automatically qualify for the next Tournament of Championships.
Okay.
So it's not like, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not like nothing.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
There's something at stake.
All right. And you guys love the color thing. You want to just do that again?
Sure. Yeah, let's do another color one.
It's a good one. That was fun. Because at least you got some sort of a chance somehow.
Yeah. Oh, he really almost pulled it out of his ass.
He really did.
So we've got either 2002 or 2007. Randy Sklar.
Oh, it's me. You just did it.
Wait, didn't he just win?
Yeah, he just won, so I
he
get it
He just won
again.
The point, and it starts here, because he challenged you, and you failed.
2007.
2007, okay. 2.5 stars from Leonard Maltin. Can't disagree. Let's see some things. He really describes the plot right out of the gate. He describes the whole plot, and then he goes, honest, like you might think he was lying about the plot.
Yeah.
You are a filthy liar.
By just giving plot points.
That's how crazy the plot sounds, is that he has to go, honest. Yeah. This is what it's really about. And I don't think he says that very often. And then he also says at the end, exceptionally well shot.
Oh, boy.
So he loved the cinematography.
Yeah.
Again, terrible clues. 2007, 2.5 stars, has a color in the title, and there are 7 names. Start the bidding, Randy Sklar.
I'll do it in 6 names.
Oh, nice.
Name it.
Whoa,
that was crazy.
All right.
So he's going to get everyone.
Holy shit, he's
going to
get it. He's going to get it, except for the very top name.
I don't think he will. I don't think he will.
I had my kid in 2005, so I'm like off the map.
That's true.
All right. Kim Richards. Oh, let me give you the clues again. 2007,
yeah.
2.5 stars, honest description of the plot,
yeah.
And exceptionally well shot. 6 names, Kim Richards.
Yep.
David Banner.
Dr. David Banner?
Yeah,
I was
going to
say.
Incredible Hulk?
I was going to say, no relation.
He turns into someone later.
Yeah, but he does wear purple pants.
Yeah.
John Coltrane?
What if that was the alternate title
he's
of the
a jazz
He wears purple pants.
It's not John Coltrane. John Coltrane, whoever that is. The great Esapathamurkison.
Oh, sure.
From Law and Order.
Yeah.
Justin Timberlake. You're getting somewhere now, aren't you? It's got a color in the title, Justin Timberlake.
Uh-uh.
And if this one doesn't sell it, then I'm gonna kick you out of the show, and then it's also the show's going to end anyway.
Yeah.
Christina Ricci.
Dude, you're not. I knew he wouldn't know it. I'm gonna.
He knew I wasn't gonna know it.
I knew it.
Oh my god!
Mentioned really, in a song really by Ludacris recently.
Hey, why do you have to? Oh, her?
Or no, this movie? The title of the movie.
Oh wow! You know, do all hip hop artists have to meet people in lobbies? That's been coming up a lot lately. I think it's they don't want them coming up to the room.
I honestly, I don't know. It
seems like they spend a lot of time in clubs.
Clubs and lobbies. Meet me in the lobby of the club. Any idea?
No.
What if I told you the color?
Pumpkin.
You think that would help?
Yeah.
The color is black.
Sort of an anti-color.
Yeah.
Wow. The absence of color, one would say.
Yeah, nope. Does that not count as a color?
No, doesn't do it for me.
Okay, let me give you the second word.
Sure, do it.
Snake.
Oh. I don't know.
Black.
This is
black.
This is really
snake moan.
There you go.
Oh, look who's smarter than a fifth grader.
Jesus. Oh man,
that was awesome.
This is a hard game.
Let's
that
just
was
talk. You guys have been on the show before, and you do a good job.
No, you were all over The Godfather.
Yeah. You were all about that. Do you guys, for fun, want to know Ice Cube's other favorite movies?
Yeah, I bet I know them. Let me guess.
Oh, that's a fun game.
Okay,
hang on a second. Let me find him.
75.
Where are you, Cube?
Seven.
Oh, I'll give you the year, and you guys, the first person to guess,
okay,
gets nothing.
Do it.
Okay, 1941.
Citizen Kane.
Correct. You guys are like twins.
Nice. Right.
More than me.
1975.
The Car Wash. Or Car Wash.
No, not Jaws.
75. Yes, Jaws.
Oh, it is Jaws?
Yeah.
Oh,
okay.
Yes, Jaws.
Sorry, I thought that was 76.
77.
Star Wars.
This is my favorite. Seen Star Wash?
Now, you can't yell Car Wash anymore because we're going into the 80s.
76, Trombones. The last one.
So that's his first four. Citizen Kane, Godfather, Jaws, and Star Wars. Like, he picks movies that are the best movies ever made.
They're basically the same movie, all of those.
Yeah, they're all great. And they're all about a problem. And somebody has to solve it. Okay, and then this one's like off the chart, away from. It's not a bad movie, but it's just an interesting choice after those four.
Right,
Citizen Kane, Godfather, Jaws, Star Wars, and from 1983,
Five Easy Pieces.
No, that's
1983.
Not E.T.
Tootsie.
No,
E.T. is too much of a classic.
Yeah, it's not really a classic.
It's just. I like it a lot. I think it's a great movie.
Mr. Mom.
It introduced us to one of the best pair of boobs on camera in the history of movies. Not the biggest pair of boobs.
The best pair.
Not the floppiest.
Fast Times at Ridgemont High?
Fast Times at Ridgemont
High? No, it was Jamie Lee Curtis in
Training Places. Oh, yeah. That boob shot.
Too. How happy does that make you when she takes her boobs out of that movie?
Her
it's just like, I want to see them, and then there they are. And
by the way, in like the least sexy moment ever. She had just taken her groceries.
Yeah.
It was like, there's nothing happening.
And he's sick. And he's sick in bed. He can't do anything about it.
You know what's weird, though, is I just saw Weird Al Yankovic, and she was sitting in front of me, and she did the same thing.
Hello.
Just went.
That was because she was eating Activia.
It was all the Activia.
The boob thing was something else.
So congratulations to Scott for winning
the game.
Thank you. And for all of us for having so much fun playing it.
This was a blast.
And do you guys have anything you want to plug coming up? This plops on September 10th.
Definitely listen, you guys, if you'll enjoy Scarborough Country.
That'll still be going after September 10th?
God, I don't know.
As long as the president's still in place.
I have some plans for September 11th, so
yeah,
it may not.
Wow. And then
we have a website.
You and your mosque building.
You and your mosque building plans.
What do you got to plug, Scott?
Earwolf.com, and we have some shows coming up in September, and then look for my screenplay, Rocky versus Rambo.
Look for that.
You'll hear more about it.
I love it already.
Yeah.
And we have...
When I say my screenplay, I mean it's me and five other people. We all wrote it together.
Five people wrote Rocky versus Rambo?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
That's awesome.
Yeah, we all did 20 pages at a time without looking at each other's work.
That's so funny.
It's going to be great.
Awesome. Yeah, it's really funny.
And so, there should be like a visible, like real change edit in between each section so that people know, now this is a different writer.
We have big plans for it, so I just want to hype it. It's out there now.
That's awesome.
Yeah, just get the hype started. Mm-hmm. Hype is so much more important than the product.
Way more.
But the product will exceed the hype, even if the hype is
huge. Forward snakes on a plane.
Wow, so we're talking about like this.
A masterpiece.
This is like kick ass.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, good.
I love it. We also have a web series that's out on crackle.com. It's kind of like a movie. It's 16 5-minute webisodes that create like a feature, and that's on crackle.com coming out 3 days ago, September 7th. Yeah, it's been out for three days. It's been out. It's called Held Up.
Everybody's already seen it.
Six episodes already up there, yeah.
Yeah.
So
3 days, they've already seen it.
Exactly.
So check that out. Check out the rest of it.
Check out my plugs. Monday night, September 13th, I'm going to be at Largo doing a combination, two shows in one. We're going to do the Doug Loves Movies. We're finally going to finish the Tournament of Championships.
Nice.
And so the three people that are the winners.
I was, by the way, really upset that I lost last time. And genuinely, that's what, like...
It's a bummer,
I was sitting there with Paula Tompkins, and I was having a hard time with it.
Yeah.
And I said to him, I really am having a hard time with the fact that I just lost. And he said, I know. It's tough.
You get caught up in it, and you're good at it. So you get mad at yourself when you don't succeed.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy.
It surprised me.
Shouldn't surprise you anymore.
Maybe you have an anecdote about this. The other half of the show on Monday night, September 13th at Largo in L.A. is going to be the Benson Interruption.
Oh, yeah. I hate that show.
My last chance to practice doing the Benson Interruption in front of an audience before we start taping them for television.
In front of an audience.
In front of an audience. So we're going to try to practice the same format or whatever, but you don't care about that. Just come out for lots of great comics, and it'll be a fun show. And if you follow me on MySpace, I'll probably put out a two-for-one offer because it's so sad that you're on MySpace.
Exactly.
And that I am, too. That's also the sad part.
What are you doing on it?
Because I still get friend requests every day. If the friend request stopped, I'd go, fuck this, and leave. But they keep coming, and I can't do that.
And you're also a Hispanic.
They want to be my friend.
You're a Hispanic man in a band. So
yeah, well,
sense.
That's the thing. Is it's all like...
Latinos
like,
and
like,
bands.
Like, it's a wasteland. Like, I think, like, the stoners have sort of taken over over there.
Nice. Because
everybody that sends me a request is wearing, you know, something with a pot leaf on it or something. Like
or an Affliction shirt.
And I love it. I love it. So keep doing it, you guys. September 16th through the 18th, I'll be at the Comedy Attic, formerly Funny Bone. In Bloomington, Indiana.
Cool. I've heard that club is great.
It's really fun. It's like it's a comedy attic. You described it perfectly. You have to. Everyone's all hunched over. And then September 24th.
Anne Frank is up.
He'll be so mad if we say anything negative about an attic and he hears this.
Anne Frank was running
the guy that runs the club. He'll be like, "Why do you have to say that?" It's a really nice club if you like beer and wine. And September 24th through 25, I'll be at the Cap City Comedy Club in Austin, Texas.
Nice.
And September 26th, I'll be doing a 420 matinee show at Wise Guys in Salt Lake City.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah. Pot show in Utah.
Hello.
Yeehaw.
Bring your wives.
And I had a great time last weekend at Bumbershoot in Seattle, I'm guessing. Because I haven't actually gone yet, I had a really good time there. Thank you to my guest, Scott Aukerman, the winner.
So
you can be happy this time and not distraught.
Ah, I feel great.
And,
I'm now going to be distraught.
And Randy and Jason Sklar, thank you guys. Always a pleasure. And I would love to. I want to come on all two of you.
Yes, you are
both
officially
of
yours, invited.
The three
on
of you's two podcasts.
Yes,
I would like to participate.
We like to
divvy
it up that way.
I'll try to participate soon, and I'll get a picture of the three of you to send out on my Twitter. And as always, Martin is a shithead.
Now it's time for Doug to watch another talkie. Eyes of Gold, his viewing prowess makes him cocky. There's no room in his heart for you, 'cause Doug loves...